Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December the 30th, 364th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, part due. Ha ha, a little Louisiana lingo there. Rob Barkley's with us. Good afternoon
again.
Hey,
Bri. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll.
Oh, rouler. That kind of sounds like food to me.
Yeah, well, that's what you gave me.
Yeah.
That's my point of reference.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So this afternoon, we're talking a little bit about what 2015 may hold nationally as well as locally, at least from the periscope, looking up.
Yes.
we'll shoot it up into the air when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Barkley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, Coco Chanel?
Like her.
Okay. Elegance is not the prerogative of those who have just escaped from adolescence, but of those who have already taken possession of their future.
Oh, I didn't give her that much credit. That's pretty good.
You like that one, huh?
I do. I do. I think that's wonderful.
So what does 2015 look like at this point?
Well,
up, down, sideways?
Economically, it should be a pretty darn good year if you're not an oil producer or related thereto. It's going to be a good year for business.
Based on what indicators?
Well, I like what consumers are doing. I like the employment picture. I like the debt levels. So I'm seeing quite a bit of good stuff happening. And so that is all solid as can be. I'm not happy with the aggregate national debt, but there's not much we can do about it. And so we're just kind of in a holding pattern, but I think good things are ahead. And so
when you look at the employment picture, what is it that's getting you excited? Is it that people are starting to come back into the actively seeking employment range? Are you seeing regional stuff? What is it that's you're looking at? Because, I don't know, maybe once.
No, if you stay too close to the compass on Eureka, it's not too much fun. Because
or even the state.
Well, the state has, I mean, if you want to see a barbell of prosperity, Silicon Valley and San Francisco are really affluent right now. The rest of the state is not enjoying the same thing unless, of course, you work for the state.
So what is it that's magical about San Francisco? I did see something that the average house is now over $1 million again.
Yeah, kids
want of celebration, but
no, kids want to live there. Kids want to live there.
20s and 30s.
Yeah, and so you have a lot of brain power going into that city and market. You have a lot of innovation going on. And so there's just a lot of money sloshing around in those economies. Now, housing these little houses for $1 million, I don't get that.
Average apartment I saw was $3,900 a month.
Yeah, isn't that astonishing?
Net. I mean, that's not.
It's just so much. I just can't believe it. And so what do I look at? I look at San Francisco as an aberration. But I look at the rest of the country as, for instance, the South. You've got a lot of businesses relocating to the South.
Tax haven.
Not just tax haven, cheap energy, cheap everything. And everything's growing there, you know, around Baton Rouge. Over the next 10 years, penciled in, and it's only getting better with cheap fuel, $60 billion of capital infrastructure spending going to happen.
Infrastructure, government infrastructure?
No. Plans, plants and the like. So you're seeing a lot of that happen. I'm not seeing a huge amount of affluence created on the street from the employees. The stock market, I think, will continue running up, as foolish as this whole thing is. But, I see it as a pretty darn healthy, unless you're a petroleum producer.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Well, over the last 5 years, three states, Texas, not Louisiana, Pennsylvania and North Dakota have created more jobs. All the net gain in jobs has come in energy, and the rest of the country, every other state has lost jobs. So this recovery appears it'll be somewhat
spotty.
Opposite. I think Texas will get beat up pretty badly by this. I really do.
Now, a lot of folks will hear the stock market going over that 18,000 mark. And if you listen to just the news, it's point of celebration. I wonder what percentage of people have stock.
Not enough.
So who is actually participating in this? Or is this just a reference point that really doesn't play down Main Street that well?
I think it plays to – it's very easy for an uninformed person to get the impression that things are better than they are. You're exactly right. Because just because the stock market's going up is simple. Mark, in a zero interest rate environment, money has to go somewhere. And so it's gone into the stocks and even bonds to a limited extent.
That's what somebody was indicating was that the stock market is more of a haven, a resting spot. If there's nowhere else to go, it'll go there. Or if the potential returns, let's say from CDs, munis, other instruments of investment aren't that strong, it reduces the risk. So you'll see a lot of money move there. Where if you started to see some of the government instruments going up in what their potential interest was, you'd see the money shifting out of the stock market, or some of the money, into some of these other instruments.
Yeah, the interesting thing that we're all celebrating lower gas prices and automobile costs, probably heating, but query, a lot of 401ks, a lot of pensions, a lot of that, I'll bet you there's a 15% allocation into energy. And it's down 50%. So whereas it looks it's a month-to-month savings, it's probably a long-term savings erosion rather than a gain.
Yeah. Just depends on what side of the bread you're looking at.
No, yeah, exactly. But it tends to...
Food reference.
No, I... Oh, I didn't.
KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, one of the interesting things I think with the oil going down is that there are so many other elements of oil that if it's high, we base certain governmental structures off of it. Gas tax, prime one.
I hadn't thought of that, but you're absolutely right.
Easy pickings. The drought. Okay, now if the drought is going to be, let's say, fleeting, we've got a whole bureaucracy around drought now in California. So as we see some of these swings, whether it's in natural products or it's in investments, how many people know when it's time to, cut bait?
Well, one thing you've just mentioned that's important. Not one thing. One of the many things you've mentioned that's important.
Ooh, kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.
Put foot in front of them, and all of a sudden I feel like I know something.
No, but what I'm trying to say is that is how far government has gotten involved in the business cycle and the economic model in which we all live. And it's wrong. And it's impossible to predict. It's not impossible. I suppose it's entirely predictable because we'll all hit the wall in the near future. But it is a very difficult thing to gauge accurately because there's, like with gas, there's the push down, there's the pull up. Oops, we're short of infrastructure money from roads because there's no gas tax. You're right. Hadn't thought of it that way.
But we kind of learned that a little bit with vice taxes, you know, when cigarettes started getting up, 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 and then people stopped smoking because it was too expensive. And all of a sudden, the revenue disappears.
But they spent the money.
Yeah, exactly.
They securitized those income streams. Oops. So, which gives me great joy. But I shouldn't be so cynical about some of these things. But I do think, what does the lower gas price do to your solars, to your other alternate energies?
Well, I was reading the book, the trilogy that Ken Follett did, the Century Trilogy. And the last one was talking about through the Nixon years, the Saudis doing things and the Russians doing things with the price structures and how it really can collapse an economy really, really quickly. When Gorbachev came in, all of a sudden the oil's down at $9 a barrel and he can't support any country. Simple economics. Versus, okay, if oil was at $40 a barrel at the time, well, then the Eastern Bloc nations could have continued to receive financial support, and maybe they would still be intact.
Boy, you're right. Now, one thing that Nixon did that very few people understand is he created the petrodollar in a deal with Saudi Arabia. So all oil transactions with the Middle East and even Putin to his great chagrin. They're under petrodollars, so we as a reserve currency control the day on that. That is Putin's number one goal, in my estimation, is to get off of the petrodollar and have it blown up. That's why you hear rumblings about them doing their transactions in either ruble, yuan, or whatever.
Something else.
Other than the dollar. So it is right now, the dollar is crushing the ruble. But right now, it's kind of funny because what you're really seeing is the ruble is hurting, but the Russians have been beaten up for so long, and so it's just another bad chapter in life, and sanctions don't bother them particularly. Nothing really bothers the Russians. They're used to sacrifice. It's embedded in their
psyches. They just have gone through it for so long. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So if oil goes below $40 a barrel, I've heard that 40 is kind of the trigger point. That's where the other countries will start to really curtail their production. Doesn't that kill alternative energy? Doesn't that really hammer things like some of these premium price vehicles that are the eco cars? Doesn't that really change that whole dynamic in the manufacturing industry in America?
Well, I think there are two types of users for the alternate energy cars. There are the ones like a person we know who commutes in from Willow Creek. His daughter went to Arcata High. They bought a Prius for mileage. Then there are the eco-fundamentalists who believe that they're virtuous and right no matter what the price of oil is, and that they're going to buy a Prius. It's not really the Prius, it's the Pius, and they can pay homage to the religion of
And those folks obviously will be untouched, but what percentage of the marketplace do they represent?
Well, I don't think it's very much. Tesla's the one that seems to be on kind of a roll only because they're on the verge of creating a battery that could well blow up oil and gas.
And that's why it's getting all the attention that it is.
Right, right. I mean, that's the one being done in Nevada, I think, in that 14-million-foot building. Figure this out. It's a mile long and a half mile wide. Under one roof.
Area 54?
Yeah. I mean, landing strip?
Yeah.
Golly. Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
Wow.
Oh. It's interesting for me to hear some of these different things that are out there, and everybody goes, one ripple. Maybe if they're thinking hard, two ripples. But not all the way through all of the impacts that some of these things could make. Celebrating $2 a gallon. Okay, that's dandy. But is it?
Yeah.
But we celebrate $2 a gallon.
It's whatever is easy to celebrate or curse, we do. And you see, the enviros are horrified by $2 a gallon. I mean, it really is exactly what they don't want to see happen. We consumers are celebrating $2 a gallon because it gives us a short run fix, but how much of your 401k is in Exxon? You know, it. All these angles.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Today we're kicking around thoughts about 2015, off election year. Okay, Republicans are coming in. Okay, since last we got together, your senator is now your former senator. Okay,
yay!
Things have changed.
Yes,
have they changed significantly enough to get anything done?
Well, never forget, Obama is holding what could only be reasonably termed an imperial presidency. He has completely disregarded the other two branches of the government and is unilaterally making decisions in a way that ought to be breathtaking to everybody.
Well, he's outdoing Nixon.
Well, no, he makes Nixon look like a piker, and Nixon was wrong. And so for people like me, and I remember my parents turning on Nixon saying, hold the phone, this is out of control. You see, it's interesting to me to watch some of the liberal Democrats say, well, I think this is just great. Oh, really?
But then, others are saying same thing that your folks did. Wait a minute.
No, but you don't find much intellectual honesty in the left from what I see, because they are very results oriented. You see, that's the same thing as the riots we're having. No justice, no peace. We're talking past each other. You and I think of justice as a process, and the result will be the logical result of a fair process. They believe justice is a result, and so they don't care about the process in place. The ends justify the means. So we're talking past each other, and people feel on the left they don't think. It is vacant these days.
Quick comment, we'll move on. What do you think about the police reaction in New York City when the mayor was speaking and they turned? I've got conservative buddies who say yeah, and liberal buddies who say yeah, good move. And I've got conservative buddies and liberal buddies who say no, that was a bad move for the cops outside to turn and put their back towards the mayor.
I don't think it's about cops, firemen, or any other group for that matter. There are positions within this country, whether you agree or disagree with the office holder at the time, that by definition deserve our respect. I may or may, and I haven't heard this anywhere, this is just Rob kind of pontificating.
Well, you don't have to parrot.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, I think that any time you ignore, defy, all but defile the position by turning your back on them, I don't think that's right. The mayor of New York is a consequential position deserving of respect.
Still the mayor of New York.
Right.
Blank, whoever it may happen
to. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's Bloomberg or Dinkins or de Blasio or, you know, I don't know.
De Giuliani.
Yeah.
You're throwing in a bunch of.
Oh, yeah. Giuliani. Yeah, that's it. And he was. I keep forgetting about him. But he, but I don't like that. I think it's contagious. I think it's terribly unfortunate. It's the same thing as making fun of the Pope or the president. There are positions that inherently, as part of a civilized society, deserve a civil and respectful disagreement, but not a disrespectful disagreement.
So looking at 2015, do you think we're going to see some race riots like we saw in the 60s?
I think what's more likely is certain people have been eliminated politically. I think de Blasio has been vaporized for future elections. I just think he...
Was he an up-and-comer?
Yeah, I think he was trying to become the mediator for the nationwide discussion on race. And I don't think he's the facilitator.
Well, Sharpton's trying certainly to get in there.
Sharpton's been...
And the more he talks, the more exposed he is, and that doesn't seem to be...
I don't put great stock in him, nor do I put great stock in the Farrakhans. This race issue, Obama's not post-racial, he's the most racial. It's unfortunate. He had an opportunity to be very consequential, and what he's done is between he and Holder, they've demeaned the race issue. They've polarized, they fragmented the race issue, and we don't need that.
So is there somebody who will be the calming voice of reason?
It is unfortunate. I don't see right now anybody out there who has A, the stature, or B, the press support from which to speak. I just don't think there's anyone that has the platform from which to speak. It should have come from the left because they've taken on race as their favorite moniker, and they've been wholly incapable of doing so.
Immigration. I read something that was indicating that California agriculture concerns are very concerned because of the 330,000 employed in that niche. The estimation is 85%.
The union's worried. I don't think
these are the stoop labor. I mean, these are the guys and gals out in the field. That 85% are illegal. Guesstimated. Now with their citizenship, they're not any longer required just to stay in those cash-paid positions, and they can go elsewhere and find other positions, and that there may be a huge shortage in the ag industry, meaning that they're going to have to pay a lot more to get the job done, and that the prices could really start spiraling really weird. Does that play out in 2015?
I think it starts playing out. I think this whole immigration thing is just a simple breakdown of the refusal. I guess it's the selective enforcement of laws. It's no different than marijuana in our community. I mean, marijuana was illegal. It's all but been legalized. Illegal immigration was illegal. We refused to enforce the laws, and now it's basically been legalized, and there's going to be a lot of casualties, and I don't know that I feel particularly sorry for the farmers.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Rob Barkley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, a couple quick things, and then the clock will nail us. Healthcare, another level of impact of the federal insurance is coming into effect and will play out this year. Will that cause ripples on the pond, or is it something everybody's pretty much expecting the impact on?
Well, I think we win the Supreme Court case, and chaos ensues, and it's going to drive Obama to the table.
With the result of a single-payer system?
Oh, no, absolutely not. There'll be something in between. We're going to tweak it much for the better. And so I really have great confidence that we're headed in the right direction there. We will win that Supreme Court case, is Rob's early prediction.
Marijuana. You alluded to the legalization of marijuana in Colorado. I saw something that was indicating that since legalization, that the amount of consumption has gone up 20% in the state, and the state already had a higher level of usage than the rest of the country. So it's now at 50% per capita usage of marijuana in the state of Colorado over the country.
Wow.
And it's attracting some of the stuff we've experienced here. The homeless are coming in. Nebraska's having some issues with it. Wyoming, the border states.
Yeah.
That there are some challenges to this. California's looking at it, and the positioning will start in 2015. Are we going to go into this thing blindfolded, or do you think that California is going to avoid some of these problems?
I do not think California will avoid the problem, because the drug is, by definition, corrosive to an area. Look at what it's done to our area. My gosh. I'm having to go out to the dog ranch and break up a thing. I keep getting threatened with death to go onto my property. Then I hear some of the homeless advocates are thinking of suing me on environmental grounds. So, I mean, if they want, I'm actually kind of excited about that lawsuit. And so, look, if they're going to start playing dirty that way, I have a much easier point of reference and a much more devious mind than they do.
California is legalized.
Yeah.
Humboldt County win or lose?
Depends how California does it. If Humboldt County brands its marijuana, which I guess is outdoor grown, it stands a chance of being kind of a net winner. But
With a reduction of the drug element, or continuation of that culture?
I think big business comes in and sweeps the money away. There will be a few winners, but not overall. They are organizing. I mean, it strikes me how far thinking the pro-pot initiative is going right now.
The RJRs and guys like that, or
just everybody there. I mean, the interest coming in, as Soros is a huge drug legalizing guy. There's just a lot of money flowing into the legalization effort, and it will get defined very well in 2015. It really, really will.
So you think we'll have it pretty well hammered out what the terminology is and some of the structures?
I do.
Government licensed?
Attempted. Wait till you do this.
It's still about, yeah.
How far do we tax it compared to cigarettes, like they did in New York, where that guy got, choked, over a cigarette. And so, it will be an eventful year in marijuana in California. Look for it; it'll be big.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, buddy. On to 2015.
Yeah, it's starting day after tomorrow. We've been Talking Shop with Rob Arkley. Join us tomorrow afternoon for the final show of the year. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.